Today's program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. For more information, visit www.rt11.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome back, everybody, to No Chefs Allowed. I'm Megan O'Connor from my kitchen in Chicago, and I'm here with my little sister, Trisha Keels, who is in her kitchen in Columbus. And as usual, on Monday evenings, we are lucky enough to cook together, and lucky enough to have all of you listening and cooking with us as well. Yes, it's very exciting today, because today is one of my favorite things. We're going to be baking bread today, and there's nothing better than the smell of fresh baked bread in your kitchen. And it doesn't happen in America that often anymore.
Well, and I'm going to admit to you, it's never really happened at my house because, well, I mean, I've gotten the smell, but the bread never tastes very good. So this is a little bit of a kind of out on a limb here for me because I have not successfully ever baked a loaf of bread.
Huh. Dun, dun, dun. True life confessions on No Chefs Allowed.
Right. And so I don't know. I mean, I have hope. I always have hope that some new idea, new recipe, new guest, like our guest today, can actually create something, some successful method for me. But, yeah, we'll see.
Well, I think we picked a lofty one, so you definitely need to give yourself a little grace for this one. Because today we're not just baking bread, we're baking focaccia. Because we are lucky enough to have a focaccia man with us today, and he doesn't call himself that. And we actually don't call him that either. We call him, at my house, we call him the bread guy.
I talked to him on the phone yesterday, he left me a message, and he called himself the focaccia guy. It's Matt, the focaccia guy, and he left me a message, and I thought that was kind of funny because we'd been calling him the focaccia man.
But he's a guy. He's a guy. Yeah, we call him the bread guy. Because I was fortunate enough to meet Matt Swint, our guest, at a soup and bread, an event that we do here in Columbus, Ohio called Columbus Soup and Bread. And he has been working with us all winter to help support that, which has been great. And we had all, like, for the first couple of months, I had trouble getting bread to the soup and bread event. And it's a charity event, so in my mind I was saying, okay, the money that people donate is the bread. But that was just lame because I couldn't get anyone to help me with the bread. But then Matt shows up one day, and he comes with his focaccia. And ever since then, my kids are more excited to go to this soup and bread event because they say before we're leaving, is the bread guy going to be there? They just want to eat this bread. They don't care that we're helping feed people who can't feed themselves for a bit. They care that they feed themselves Matt Swint's bread. So,
that's right. Well, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness it gets everybody there. You know, you got to find that hook to get people to come. And I remember the first soup and bread that you did, and I was there, and the bread people didn't show up. And we convinced ourselves that the bread was the money.
Right.
Remember? We're like, it's no big deal because it's soup and then bread, man, like money.
Right, exactly.
Go, like bread. And so, but the first people who got there were all, where's the bread?
Yeah,
is there bread with this?
My favorite quote of the night was, what does a guy have to do to get an oyster cracker around here? That was funny. But we did get, I must admit, so soup and Columbus Soup and Bread was an event that we pulled together here. We get six or seven soup makers together. We all meet at a bar in Grandview. And all the soup makers just dish out their soup to anybody who comes. And we have a donation crock pot out for the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, which is a food bank here in Columbus, Ohio. So the whole season has been great, and in the end we'll have raised enough for 10,000 meals through the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. So it's people like Matt Swint that helped out and showed up each month to serve soup and bread. It was awesome.
Yeah, so, and if that wasn't enough for Matt to do, he also agreed to walk us through how to make focaccia, which I know you said, you know, it was kind of a going out on a limb since I'm not a bread maker, but the dough, you know, this, what's funny about it is, so Matt sent us his super secret ingredient ahead of time, and it is literally single spaced one entire page top to bottom. I mean,
you need a bookmark.
You do, because here's the thing. So folks, five ingredients and like 765 instructions. So the good news is the five ingredients you can find in your kitchen pretty much any day.
Right.
The bad news is this takes a couple of days. I started mine yesterday.
Because you're an overachiever. I'm starting mine right now. So we're not having it until tomorrow. But I like that you've already started.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. So I started last night, and I have to say, you know, I am intimidated by baking bread. So I started off with a little nervous. But I will say this dough is super easy to work with. And work with it you do. So yesterday I mixed up the ingredients really easy. I let it sit for 15 minutes. I then added olive oil. I mixed that in, let it sit for another 15 minutes. And then I think I did that again. Oh, then I stretched it and folded it and let it sit again for 15 minutes. And I did it again. So I've played with this dough five times already, put it in the fridge overnight so it would rise, or proof as it's called, I learned. And then this morning I'm all getting ready this morning I get up and I look at it. It looks good. And then to make it tonight, I thought, well, for the show, I'll just finish it.
Right.
But when I went back to my instructions, I realized that I'm going to put this on my cookie sheet, and then I have to wait another hour and a half.
Well, good. So we can just chat. You can watch it. It's like watching the grass grow. You can watch it run.
Well, I still have to, like, get it. It's still in the bowl, and it's in, you know, it's risen. I need to get it out, and I want Matt to kind of talk us through what it should feel like and make sure I've got kind of the right consistency and stickiness factor. But yeah, I mean, we may be having dinner at 9 tonight, because I'm not having dinner without my focaccia. So
yeah, keep your eye on the prize. That's what I'm But when I read through – so I've had Matt Swint's focaccia, which is just setting the bar really high. So even when I use his recipe, I'm a little nervous that – my kids are going to be like, where's the bread guy? This is not right. No. But so, yeah, you do read through the novel of a recipe. And there were two things that he wrote in there that made me want to keep reading. And the first one was, don't freak on the amount. I was like, every recipe should say that somewhere. Just don't freak. Don't freak on the amount. And then, so I was like, okay, I can keep reading, because now my instructions are don't freak. I can relate to that. And then the other one that cracked me up is where he says, don't fret. Everything will be all right.
I think he knows. I think he does know you, but I kind of feel seriously. Like he knows both of us.
No, right here it says, don't fret. It'll turn out great. I'm going to put that on my chalkboard wall at home, just so whenever anything happens, I can look at it and know, don't fret. It'll turn out great.
Quote Matt Swint, bread guy.
Yeah.
There you go. You
I think he can make a bumper sticker. He could do a bumper sticker like that.
Well, and speaking of bumper stickers, he's also a food truck guy.
Yes.
So this guy is like delivering bread and to many. And I think he's becoming pretty well known in Columbus, right? I mean, he's the focaccia guy.
Bread guy. Yep.
Yeah.
It's probably like, he probably feels like, you know, when you have a baby and you walk in and everyone goes, oh, baby, da, 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 and nobody says hi to you anymore. It's probably like what it's like. No, this is a funny story about Matt Swint, though, I'll tell you, because he showed up to Soup and Bread every month with his soup, which was always great. And then he'd have two bags of focaccia, and he would take one bag and he would pour it into the bread basket that we had there. But then he always liked to keep another little bag right next to him so that anybody who came up and has his soup, he was sure that they were going to get a piece of his focaccia too.
Oh, funny. Nice move.
Yeah. It's like he had that little stash right there.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so he's not messing around. He is a salesman.
Yeah.
He's a focaccia pusher.
Yeah. So, like you said, though, with this recipe, and this is Matt's recipe, a couple of questions. I don't know if this intimidates you, but when you see a recipe that gives you the ingredients in grams.
Yeah. Well, I weighed them. I did it. I weighed them.
I didn't.
Well, it says 600 grams of unbleached flour, but then it says 4.5 to 5 cups. What's that mean? I couldn't deal with that because it's either 4.5 or it's 5 to a person who can't bake a loaf of bread successfully. So I just had to weigh it.
I just say to you, don't fret. It'll turn out great.
Well, I was way at the top of the recipe. I hadn't gotten to the don't fret part at the bottom.
Which is a lesson that we should all learn, that you should read through the recipe from top to bottom before starting. Because it may right. have
That's
a message
it gets
in there.
You some words of wisdom or something to calm nerves.
Did you weigh everything? Did you weigh the flour and the salt and the yeast and the water?
I did. I didn't understand. I didn't really know how to do the water because I don't really know what grams of liquid means. So I did two cups.
Isn't it still the weight? Isn't it still just the weight?
I don't know.
Well, Melissa has to be mad about that.
Plus, it didn't pour well onto my scale.
Oh, Megan. Goodness gracious. That's so funny because if I use the scale here, I have mom's scale that she used to.
Old Weight Watchers scale?
Old Weight Watchers scale. There's no possible way it's still. Right. So I went with I measured and that's so funny. I saw 4.5 to 5 cups and I too went, what do I do? But I went with 4.5 cups here in my KitchenAid mixer, and then my thought process is, because I have baked bread before, like I have to admit, anyone who wants to start baking bread, that book, Artisan Bread, in just 5 minutes a day, like it's a really good book to start learning how to make bread. That's Artisan Bread in 5 minutes a day. Look it up.
Okay. I think I'll get it.
Yeah,
can I borrow yours?
It's a different style of bread than what we're doing today, but it really can get you started in a really easily. But so I measured and the 4.5 cups and everything else in here, and I'm going to turn this on right before we go to break because I think my KitchenAid is broken. Like, it is so loud. It's like – even the kids think it's loud. It's louder than the kids, and that's but
that's loud, people.
It is loud. I figure if it seems too wet, then that's where I use that extra 0.5 cup of flour to, like, put it in there.
Oh, I see. But it's by that, it's kind of wet. I don't know. See, yeah, do it your way because you've got a little bit more confidence. But, I had to weigh mine.
Well, at the end, by the time the break is over, Matt will be on the show, and at that point I can ask him what to do. And I know what he's going to say. Don't fret, Trisha. It's going to turn out great. This is going to be a good day.
How many times you can say that the rest of the night?
Okay, I will. I'll measure. I'll put hashtags up or whatever those things. Hash marks, not hashtags.
Oh, anyway. I thought you were actually going to tweet something.
I know. I should start a whole hashtag campaign that says don't fret. Everything is not great. You know what? I'm going to skip No Chefs. I'm just going to become a life coach with that. That's my tagline.
Well, I think Matt owns that. I can't believe you're going to steal his line for your own good.
Well, he's a nice guy.
He is. He delivers bread.
I know.
He makes people happy.
He sure does. That's true. Okay.
So, all right, turn your mixer on. Let's see. Let's all hear how loud it is.
Okay, here. I'm pouring
my equipment. Let's hear yours.
Are we going to get ready to go to a break? Because I'm not kidding you. It's so loud you won't be able to hear anything.
Yeah, we are getting ready to go to a break. So let's hear it, and then we'll go to a break.
Okay, here we go. So I got my Delphi gone.
Let's do this. We're going to go to a break, and to take us out into the break, we're gonna premiere Trisha's KitchenAid mixer. So we'll be right back in just a few minutes with No Chefs Allowed. See?
I think it's broken. We'll be right back.
The following program has been brought to you by Root 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Root 11 Potato Chips dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate, an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Root 11 Potato Chips believes comfort food should be just that. Know where your food comes from. For more information, visit RT11.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to No Chefs Allowed. I'm Megan O'Connor, and I am baking bread today in my kitchen in Chicago, Illinois, with my sister, Trisha Keels, who is, well, dealing with a potentially broken KitchenAid mixer in her kitchen in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, here in Columbus, Ohio, we have faulty equipment. And I turned my KitchenAid off because it's just too, it doesn't feel right. Something about this is wrong. So let's get our guest on here so he can tell me what to do next.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
So today we've been talking about him a lot and what a great guy he is, but let's introduce him formally. This we have with us Matt Swint. He is a food trucker. He's a dough maker. He's famous for his focaccia, and he has given us his super secret focaccia recipe, which we are at various stages of, shall I say, mastering. I don't know. Trying.
Yes. Say it.
Mastering, because I'm not fretting. And so Matt's with us today, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what he does, talk about why he does it, and help Trisha get her dough started. Matt, are you there?
I am. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Good.
How are you?
Welcome, Matt Swint.
I'm nice so to be glad here. You're.
Oh, good.
Well, Trisha.
Yeah, so Matt, we're at two different stages of your 672-point recipe on focaccia bread, and I have just started by mixing. The best part of this recipe, I think, is the fact that it's just a couple ingredients. So I've got my flour and my yeast and my salt and my water in, and I've started using my KitchenAid, but it's super loud, as we just showed the guests. And so now I've stopped. It doesn't feel like it's mixed, and I'm wondering if I should just proceed by hand with a wooden spoon.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it myself. I've done it with the KitchenAid mixers, and I think it just it takes too long. And when you do it by hand, you actually end up with a lighter bread. So it's nice and holey inside and nice and soft.
Okay. So I just find that an odd response because you just would think the machine would be faster. But, okay, I'm going to use
but
the melted
so, but that first step, it, like, takes a minute and a half, right, unless I didn't do it right. I mean, you just want to get all the ingredients mixed together. It doesn't have to – it doesn't even look pretty. It doesn't even look like real dough yet.
It doesn't. That first step, and Trisha, as you're mixing it with the wooden spoon, all you're trying to do is mix all those ingredients together into one lump. That's all you're trying to do. So you want the water to be able to get to all the flour, the yeast and the salt to get distributed evenly. And that's it. You're done. Then you stop. And it's
yeah,
going to be
I
all
mean,
raggedy.
What do you use? A word? You said something like, "Hang on, while I go through my this." But no, you used a word that made me feel better. A ragged ball.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to look really ragged. It's going to look like it was torn up, chewed, and thrown back in the bowl. You know, it doesn't look pretty. It doesn't look like a dough. It looks somewhere between kind of this misshapen, raggedy lump and a batter. It's somewhere in the middle there.
Okay, mine's looking ragged, but I have to admit I do have bits of flour on the bottom that aren't getting incorporated. So should I keep going or do I just give up on those little bits at the bottom?
No, and that's part of the problem with using the KitchenAid too. It doesn't always get down there to the bottom of the bowl. So with your wooden spoon, you won't have that problem. So, yeah, you want to get down there and kind of mix all that stuff in.
Okay. Well, I'm
okay,
gonna
Matt. I'm sorry. I need some advice from Matt, Trisha. But you could just hold on a second.
Okay.
So Matt, my dough was in the fridge last night. I took it out earlier today to get it to room temperature, although it does still feel a little chilly.
And it will, especially
I poured
in the
container. It onto my cookie sheet with my parchment paper as per the instructions. And I have to say that it has lots of little air bubbles in it, which is making me feel happy that I'm doing the right thing. Is that right?
That is an excellent sign. Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm spreading it out as big as I can get it on this cookie sheet, and what you had warned about is happening, which is it's so elastic that it's coming back in. You know what I mean? Like I'm pushing it out, but it's – so I should just let it sit there a minute and try it again?
Yeah. Yeah, what happens is because the dough is probably a little bit chilly, and, you know, most recipes will say take it out an hour and a half, 2 hours before, let it come to room temperature. It can take a little bit longer. It depends on the temperature outside, the temperature in your house. So maybe it's a little chilly, and you don't want to force it because then it's going to tear and you're done. So, yeah, you just take it as far as it'll go. Then you walk away. You just let it relax.
All right. I'm putting that on a bumper sticker, too. Just walk away. Yeah. Let it relax.
Let it relax. We are going to – you're right. We should change the show into a self-help show.
Yeah. Let's get somebody on the phone for that.
That's the best thing about making bread is just about every well-known baker I know has got a really kind of a zen approach to this stuff. It's never really going to screw up. You're always going to be okay. You just got to kind of work with what the dough will give you, and you don't push it.
Oh, my gosh. Write a book, Matt Swin. Throw bread to the side. No, write a book where you buy the book and you get a subscription to your bread once a month for a year. Oh, my gosh. We've got a huge plan.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll call you offline for that.
Quotes from the bread maker. Yeah. That's what I want. A daily quote from the bread maker.
Wait a minute. Seriously.
Beautiful. I'm crying.
Okay. Well, let's get Matt is such a sage of life. Let's get to know him a little bit. Because I consider Matt like – so ever since I first met him, so this year during Soup and Bread – like, Matt is, like, the ultimate nice guy. That's what I think of you, Matt. Like I want you to be our neighbor. I want your family to move in next door. As long as your lawn isn't, like, so great that it'll put our lawn to shame. But, so, Matt, I want to know how you started cooking.
Well, it goes back to childhood, to be honest with you, as it does for a lot of people. My family is from Slovenia, if you want to go that far back. And actually, they're from Trieste, which is actually in Italy, but it kind of is right on there in the border between Italy and Slovenia. And so I grew up in a kitchen with grandmas and aunts and uncles cooking foods that none of the kids down here in Columbus could pronounce, let alone ever tasted. And it's just where I started to learn was kind of at their hips. And then, of course, my own fascination with it as I got older, both trying to hold on to kind of the traditions that we kind of grew up with. You know, there's so little of that nowadays, you don't want to let it go. So, like any convert, it takes one step and you're in, you know, neck deep. So everything is about holding tradition and doing it this way. But that's how I started. And, you know, so it was the foods that I grew up with. And then, ultimately going back to, you know, where the family was from and trying to pick the recipes that they were familiar with, which led me, of course, to Italian food. And because our cuisine is a weird mix of kind of Eastern European and Italian. And so along with that came the breads. You know, bread was a big thing in the family. There was always, up in Cleveland, there was always this huge, enormous loaf of bread that grandma would cut slices off, and it was this huge, craggy, brown thing that made the best toast ever. For breakfast, and I still have not mastered that one, but I will. and the other one where, you know, the nice sweet breads, one's called Petitza, and it's basically a walnut nut roll, but it's synonymous with that area and Slovenian people. So these things kind of led me into dough, and I was enamored. You know, it's just everything about it just seemed right. I like the fact that. While it's extremely process-driven, inside that process, you can kind of just forget. You know what I mean? You have to do the steps, and you know what you're going to do. And for someone like me, where my brain generally goes a million miles a minute, I don't have to worry about what spices am I going to use. Should I throw everything in the cupboard into this recipe? Because we can't. I know what I'm going to use. I'm going to use these four or five ingredients, and that's going to be the end of it. Mm-hmm. And within that is, of course, just tons of variations, and that's where all the fun comes in. And so that's
what are your fun variations? Like, so I've had your focaccia bread. I don't know. Do you specialize in other breads too, or are you like
Italian breads mostly? Because I just love their version of what baking should be as compared to, say, French. And in France, it's extremely, extremely regimented. You know, it's
chemistry.
It's French. Yeah, it's, you know, French.
It is. This is why I'm scared of the French. See? It's all coming out.
No. But the Italian style of baking is very laid back. And as a matter of fact, the breads are very laid back. They don't have these huge structures and this should be this way and this should be that way. You'll find pizza all over the country, and only in one little small part of the country will you recognize it as pizza. The word pizza mm-hmm. is about 30 different kinds of bread. You know, so it those kind of things just really do it for me. You know what I mean? There's just endless ways of configuring these few recipes and making something new. So,
Matt, I'm fretting.
Yes.
Don't fret.
What's wrong?
I'm fretting because I forgot to put the olive oil on my parchment paper before I spread out my dough. So then while you were saying all those wonderful things, I decided I would redo the parchment paper and then transfer the dough.
Right.
All right, so I'm okay. I'm gonna let it sit here. I'm gonna walk away.
There you go.
For a minute. It didn't transfer. Turned back into a big ball. And I'm gonna just let it sit there for a few minutes. Okay.
That's fine. Yeah, and what's happened is the gluten, which is kind of the glue that allows bread to puff up and get nice and look the way that it does, has started to tighten up. So in order for that to relax, you gotta relax yourself and just kind of walk away from it and let it do its thing for a few minutes. And it'll loosen up. You'll see.
Okay. I think dinner is going to be at 10 o'clock.
No,
you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. It won't.
They eat late in Italy anyway. They eat really late. You know, they don't
end of the
hour until 9 o'clock.
At the end of the recipe, it should say, don't freak on the time. Instead of don't freak on the amount. See, we can use it for all stages. Well, I'm just hanging out. I think bread baking is awesome because my ball is put together and it's ragged in form, and now it's sitting for 15 minutes. And so now I'm sitting too. This is great.
Here's the test, Tricia. If you take, if you've got close by, if you've got water, I usually will dip my hands into some cold water or lukewarm water. And then kind of massage the dough, and you'll feel whether or not there's big clumps of flour in there. Now, you want to wet your hands because this is a really sticky dough, and wetting your hands will keep the dough from forming a mitten over your hand. Otherwise, you'll spend the rest of the day trying to get it off of one finger onto the next finger.
And that's not relaxing. That's not zen, is it?
No, but you have 15 minutes.
Not relaxing,
You know what? Like, I have to, this dough looks kind of wet right now. Like, well, we were talking earlier about the fact that your recipe says 4.5 cups to 5 cups of flour. And I just did 4.5 cups. But how do you know, like, if I'm looking at the dough, how do I know if it needs more flour?
I can tell you it doesn't. That's fine.
I like that.
most Italian breads are based on a very, very, very wet dough. So wet that you just don't think it's right. You're sure this is not what bread dough is supposed to look like. It doesn't mold itself into a nice ball for you when you're mixing it. It doesn't look pretty and polished and perfect. It is generally a little bit of a messy business right until it starts to come together. And that flour thing was because when you're taking weights to volume measurement, especially when it comes to flour. When you scoop flour, it packs in there, and you're going to have a completely different weight every single time you do it. So that 4.5 to 5 cups is basically to give you a gauge. If you're somewhere in there and the dough has come together, you're fine. You don't have to worry. But you want it somewhere between those two. And as far as if you only did 4.5, the wetter the better. You can almost, now at some point it goes the other direction, but that's up to like 85 or 90% water in the recipe. So trust me, you're fine.
Oh. If only all instruction came like that. I have one more question about this first 4.5 to 5 cups unbleached bread flour. Why?
Right.
So what if somebody doesn't have bread flour and they use all-purpose flour? Like, what's the dip?
Are you admitting that
you don't even worry about it.
I'm not admitting anything of that sort, Megan. Don't fret. Everything's going to turn out great.
I can't even tell you. Yeah. Short of using cake flour or pastry flour, which just won't give you the texture that you're looking for. It doesn't have enough gluten or it doesn't have enough protein in it. All-purpose flour is perfect. I use it. I use it all the time to make a focaccia. Bread flour does, because it's got higher protein, it will form more gluten. And I guess it's, in writing the recipe, it's a little bit of a fail safe. So if you've got the high protein bread flour, and you've mixed it, you're going to end up with the bread that you're looking for, as opposed to maybe with all purpose. The protein differs, you know, from region to region. Mm-hmm. And, so you might have to work with it. Maybe you need to have a little bit more finesse with it after you've done it a few more times. And again, it shouldn't be a problem. So the bread flour was just simply there because it's what you generally use. You want a strong flour.
Okay.
Good to know. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Matt, are you good to hang on with us for a little bit? We'd love to have, I want to talk a little bit about other breads and kind of the artisanal breads and things that you're making beyond focaccia and why. So if you can hang with us for a few more minutes when we come back.
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Matt will be back with us, and we will be back in just a few minutes with No Chefs Allowed. Welcome back, everybody. No Chefs Allowed. We are baking bread in our kitchens today with focaccia guy, Matt Sprint, who is not only therapeutically walking us through this bread baking, but also he's got quite a passion for what he's doing, and we've had a great time talking with him so far about that. I'm here, as always, on Monday night with my sister, Trisha, who is in her kitchen.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm ready to move on to the next step in focaccia breaking.
See,
focaccia
neither of us say it.
Baking. I know.
Anyway, Matt, are you there?
I am. You bet.
Great. One of the things Matt and I had a conversation earlier over the weekend about the show, and we talked about some of his, you know, why he's passionate about bread baking, and also just kind of the changes in how we buy bread, how bread is made in this country, and, you know, he really kind of inspired me about getting back to the bread baking roots of old and kind of changing the way we think about bread from a tastiness perspective and also nutrition. So I think I think it's great to hear from somebody who's does this every day and whose passion is in bread baking. But tell us about that. You know, what's your take on bread in 2013 and where bread's going?
All right, sounds great. Well, first of all, as you know, you guys have already discovered, I think people freak out way too much over this stuff.
Don't freak.
Yeah. there's just, and to my way of thinking, and I suppose I could be wrong, but I'm probably not. We wouldn't be here if we weren't able to do things like ferment food, make cheese, salami, and bread. I mean, it's not called the staff of life for nothing. And the idea that we've got to the point now where we see it as poison to our bodies, for me, starts to get absurd. There are some real allergies out there, and there are some people that really have a problem with it. But it has exploded to become, you know, like the next Atkins style of eating, or just a continuation of it, I guess. And the truth of the matter is that, like I said, we just wouldn't be here if we weren't able to make it. You know, it's the bread that got us through any number of harsh winters and all the sorts of things that we had to deal with when we didn't have electricity and in-home heating. So I think that there's something that's been missed. And in my opinion, what's been missed is that we've changed the way bread is made. There's so many additives. There's so many things that we do to make it rise faster, to make it taste better. I mean, you've got to have that right amount of sugar in it so that kids will just crave it. You know, you've got to have all these things. You've got to have preservatives in it so that it'll stay stable for months.
On the shelf.
All of these things have degraded what it originally was. And it's no surprise that it's poison to us at this point. Because it in no way relates to what it was our great-grandparents probably ate, you know? And it was only that.
That is funny. I noticed in this recipe that there was no sugar in it. And a lot of times when I work with yeast or do any type of yeast dough or anything, it'll say add sugar to feed the yeast. But I did notice in this focaccia recipe we're not using any honey or sugar or anything. I like that.
Yeah, well, you know, and this comes to the way that you bake. There's only two things that you need to know besides the ingredients and a source of heat is time and temperature. And it's everything when it comes to bread. And the goal is to take as much time as possible. And what this does is there's all kinds of chemical processes going in there. The yeast is eating all kinds of sugars and they're basically burping gas. And that's what makes the bread inflate. There's also all kinds of enzymes that are breaking down the flour, which makes it, A, more digestible, but, B, brings out the sweetness so that you've got this well-rounded flavor without having to add sugar, honey, molasses, mm-hmm. or, you know, God forbid, corn syrup. You know what I mean?
Right.
And all of these things have their places, but not in every single bread that you eat every single day. You know, it's things in moderation. If you want a piece of brioche that's made with, you know, a ton of butter and 2 cups of sugar, absolutely. If you eat it every day, you're going to die of a heart attack, you know? So,
But even the brioche, you know, if it's homemade and it's, you know, baked with love, baked homemade, it's still going to be a better taste and better for you than, you know, I do find it kind of sad that bread's the enemy in so many ways, and Atkins diet and other things have led to that. But I think you're right in that we're evaluating bread based on today's bread versus yesterday's bread. And I think that, you know, I'm excited about a movement to, you know, bring back the bread bakery. And I mean, do you feel that kind of happening? Do you think we have a couple here in Chicago that I frequent, and you know, I'm willing to pay extra for a loaf of bread that was made that morning in the bakery, you know, and it's because it just tastes better and it just feels better. You know, if I'm going to go pick up a loaf of bread to have with dinner or with something I'm making, I always go there because whatever I can get at my local grocery store is not good enough.
I couldn't agree more. And even when it's usually labeled artisan, you know, at the grocery store, very often you're not getting what you think you're getting. You know, as with anything, if you turn it over and look at the ingredients, you're going to start questioning why this is added and that is added. And that extra price only comes because you've only got so much space. They've only can hold so much of the time, and space equals money for restaurants. And so, you know, they've got to be able to get what they need out of that loaf of bread to stay in business. And it's worth it, as you just said. You know, you've got a product here that they probably started the day before, you know, and they've been nursing it for the last 12 hours, and I'm sure that they probably are hands-on very much with it. And so they've made it for you, you know, mm-hmm. and it's been shaped by them for you. And it's really, it's about as cool gets. And it's part of a bigger movement that, you know, as, you know, when we go through tough times, we kind of run back to mommy, so to speak. And in this case, it tends to be going back to simpler foods, you know, the whole thing with the backyard gardens, getting back yeah. to what it was that made us who we are to begin with. And bread is very much a part of that. But not the doughy stuff that you see on the shelves necessarily. You know, the idea that you can get actual nutrition from it, and that you've made something that that you give your family that sustains them vitally and in a way that has been for thousands and thousands of years, if I can get a little, you know, spacey on it.
Yeah, but I also think, you know, we think about bread most of the time as a way to hold our
sandwich.
Yeah, it's a ham holder.
Right.
But when I buy bread at the bakery and bring it home, it's because I see it as an added, you know, accompaniment to my dinner. It's a part of my meal. I think about the bread I'm going to serve with the meat I'm serving with the vegetable. You know, it's a part of my meal.
Yeah.
And I think that's where those better breads are just such a great addition to my cooking. I'm not a baker.
I couldn't agree more.
Right.
And there's
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, it was funny because I was looking at this, and I don't know if you know this, but the Keels family, we grind our own wheat to make our own flour for the most part.
Right.
I didn't say I used bread flour today, but I wanted to do some research. I mean, can you make a focaccia with wheat, freshly ground wheat flour, or will I never be able to produce enough gluten to do that?
The whole ground wheat like that is a little bit tougher to work with, and you do want to add generally some white flour to it to help develop the gluten. You can still make it, but it won't be what we call the crumb or the insides of the bread. It won't be as open and kind of airy. It'll be a little more dense the way that whole wheat breads are. And mm-hmm. if you can add the white flour, that's great. If you've got gluten issues, a lot of people can tolerate spelt, which has got a little bit more gluten. And if not, if you can't take any of those things, then make the whole wheat bread. You know, like I said, you'll probably have to add quite a bit more water because the grain can take in that much water. The gluten won't mm-hmm. be quite as defined as it is, or the crumb won't be quite as defined as it is, but it's still going to be darn good. You know, I mean, it's just hard to mix up, you know, the flour, the olive oil, the salt and whatnot, and come out with something that's not extremely tasty.
Right. Yeah, you're a glass half full kind of guy. I like that. I applaud you.
Let's hope that at midnight tonight, when I put this on the table, it's going to be darn tasty.
You're eating it for yourself?
It will be. It will be. And here's the thing. Your family is going to know that you made that for them. You know what I mean? You didn't go and pick it up on your way home because you were feeling rushed. You've put something into this. And no matter how bad you might think it is, when it comes to bread making, generally the family or friends or whoever are very appreciative that somebody went through the effort to do that. And that's why I say, you know, eventually you'll be making your own loaf of bread. It won't be mine anymore. The more you make it, the more you'll tweak it the way you want it. You'll do things the way you think they should be done. And pretty soon you'll have a bread that, while it might have the same name as mine, probably won't resemble mine a whole lot, other than it'll be a flatbread. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-oh, Trisha, your kids are going to be upset.
No, they're going to be like, this isn't
exactly like Matt.
They'll be like, when's the next Soup and Bread event?
Yeah. So Matt, are you in for Soup and Bread next year? Because Soup and Bread's over for the summer, right, Trisha?
We're doing one more with some cold soups, and because there's going to be a band there and that kind of thing, just to finish it off. But next year's season will just be from October to April. Because let me just tell you, soup is a hard sell once it gets warm.
Yeah, right.
So, but this is our first year, and we weren't exactly sure. So we have one more, and that's just going to be all cold soups, and then we'll retire. So,
well, what, September?
October. The first week in October, we'll kick off season two. So
right.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm
next
back.
Year, I'm trying to get you to commit on the air right now that you're bringing Sriracha next year.
I'd say that's a given. I just enjoy, one, it's cool. It's really cool. And Megan's been there, so she knows it's a cool bar. And the music is always good. The people are always super appreciative. And most importantly, you know, the Mid-Ohio Food Bank gets a nice boost of money going through cold months. And I just think that that's awesome. So, yeah, I'm definitely in.
All right.
Great.
All right. Well, Matt, thanks for being on the show with us today. You have been great fun and therapeutic, and we've learned a lot. And I'll, you know, we'll let you know how our focaccia ends up. I'm sure it's
in 2 weeks when it's over. In 2 weeks when we finished it, we'll let you know how it went. You know what, Megan? You know what, Megan? Though when I was reading through to the end and stuff and about sprinkling rosemary and salt, so we just did a show on fancy salts, and I'm really excited to put some of my fancy salt on top of this focaccia.
I was going to use awesome. Me too. In fact, I got out my black lava salt. I'm gonna
use
that.
There you go.
Yeah, it's right here.
That's how you make it your own, baby.
That's right. All right, Matt, thanks. Hopefully we'll see you around Columbus next time I'm in town. But thanks again for participating in our fun little cooking adventure with No Chefs Allowed today.
Thank you very much. I had a blast.
Thanks
Matt.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.
All right, Tricia, it's about time to wrap up the show. He was awesome. How fun.
I know. I kind of don't want the show to end. I want it to go on for 4 days because I feel like the end.
Well, you're still baking the spread.
While we're doing it, I want to get acupuncture in the middle. Like, I'll be so relaxed.
You can do that because, like, right now, my dough is going to wait an hour and a half. You could go get a little acupuncture, come back, then you're going to wait again. Like, you got a spot in here where you can wait 3 to 5 hours. You could get a massage, acupuncture, a facial, all of it.
Right. I'm going to have to wait a minute because I'm at the point. So I put my olive oil in while we were talking, and I'm letting it rest again. But I'm at the point where I'm going to need to stretch and fold it and do it a couple times before I can go ahead and put this in the refrigerator because I'm not going to bake mine tonight. I'm baking it tomorrow. So I got a couple more steps,
that's not too hard, so that's good.
Cool.
It sounded hard to me when I read it. I thought it would be sticky and hard to work with, but it isn't. I'm just a little bummed at myself because I forgot that olive oil on my parchment paper, and I had such a perfect – now I feel like maybe I've worked with it a little too long. But, again, it's going to be fine. It's going to be great. It's going to smell good regardless.
Don't freak. Don't freak.
Yeah.
Don't freak.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
So, folks, next week, let's talk a little bit about next week. Next week we are doing soft shell crab.
So excited. I'm so excited. I love soft shell crab. I've only eaten them in a spider roll, and now we're going to take the leap into learning how to make it ourselves. I'm super psyched.
We've got a fantastic guest who is a friend of ours who has an amazing seafood store. His name is Dirk from Dirk's Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And he has agreed to not only teach us how to clean those babies when you bring them home live, but also how to get them ready for a spider roll or something else, you know, whatever else you want to do with it. So I'm looking really forward to that.
Yes.
So, folks, soft shell crab, actually, can we tell them it's going to be our monthly challenge ingredient next month?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, why not? So get yourself prepared. Soft shell crab is in season. And if you're not sure about how that works with fish in season and what that really means, Dirk will tell us all about that, too. But soft shell crab is in season. If you're going to find it in your grocery store, now is the time.
Mm-hmm.
And get yourselves ready for next Monday. At 5 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock
Central.
Eastern,
mm-hmm.
where we will be working with those soft shell crabs. Check us out on Facebook, No Chefs Allowed, our website, www.nochefsallowed.com, and follow us on Twitter.
Yep, at No Chefs.
Yes.
Megan, this was totally fun. I can't wait to smell my baking bread, and I can't wait till next week.
All right, so folks, we'll see you next week. Until then, goodbye from No Chefs Allowed.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.